Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, welcome into the show on this Friday. Hope you are in the midst, really the beginning of a long holiday weekend. Thank you so much for being here. Thrilled to be filling in for Jim. Always an honor, always a pleasure to sit in the chair of the radio host who I look up to the most and who has been the most instrumental in my career. And that's even more true because I got to leave my house today, which was nice for the first time. And I swear to you, what feels like 2 months. Look, we all want Jim on the air. I do, and I get to fill in for him. But if Jim wants to take some more time off so I can leave my wife and 2 children, our tiny house in L.A., I got you guys. I am in. By the way, and I should say that I love my wife and children because they're listening, but it feels so good to be many miles away from you. The program, as always, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're going to have a seamless show for you. Great crew. We got a lot of people helping out because I'm in and I need the help. It's okay. I understand. Garrett Ritt is here. James Kelly. I just found out James Kelly's a gambling guru. Table tennis? Darts? Turtle racing? I don't know if that last one's true. We are going to hit that later in the show. Tom DeCelestino in New York City, who, if you listen, will tell you he's in charge of CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if that's true. I haven't been there in a few months, but he's helping out. And Tommy DiBenedetto helping out as well. A lot of stuff to get to. We're going to visit with Brett McMurphy from Stadium later in the show, about 35 or 40 minutes, and get a perspective on what's going on with college football. As I have gone about my job at CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ the last few months, primarily as the NBA guy there, obviously like most folks, trying to get a sense of when sports are going to come back and what that's going to look like. And there has been the most skepticism, the people I've talked to, about the ability of college football to get back to any kind of normalcy. And we'll find out whether that that pessimism for that particular sport is warranted with Mr. McMurphy in, again, about 30 or 40 minutes. Harold Reynolds is going to be on the show in an hour. Excited about that conversation. My friend Howard Beck, lead NBA writer at Bleacher Report, in the 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific hour, and the bad boy of baseball back in the day, and one of my favorite people, Rob Dibble, will be on in the final hour. And a lot of stuff to unpack for you. I'm sure, like most of you, you have had some moments where you felt like you were going to lose your mind the last 2 months. One of my neighbors lost his freaking mind a month ago, and I have what I believe to be one of the great all-time coronavirus meltdown stories, close as I've ever come. Look, I'm not a violent man, and violence is wrong. Let's just get that out of the way. Closest I've ever come to putting hands on an 85-year-old man. I'm just going to tell you that. It involves spraying my son with a hose and a Hall of Fame athlete we didn't expect to show up and be part of the equation. We will get into that story later in the show. Dak Prescott going to get paid a whole bunch of money. Some reports and counter reports and clearly some leaks about what's going on in Dallas. We'll catch you up on that and give you some perspective probably this hour. Want to visit about Jerry Sloan, who just a short time ago, the announcement that the great and now late Utah Jazz head coach passed away after a battle with an illness whose characteristics include dementia. Carl Malone had given us some insight in the last few days that coach wasn't doing well. And I want to hit later on Jerry. I want to get into a little bit of my take on the Jordan doc and the people that Jordan, who he, at least in the eyes of fans, lessened legacies of, including the Jazz. But I want to say this just at the top. An all-time great athlete or coach deserves, on a show like the Jim Rome Show, a moment of recognition. And that is certainly true for Jerry Sloan as it relates to the accomplishments that he did on the basketball floor. He revolutionized the pick and roll. It wasn't just, oh, there's Stockton and Malone. It was Jerry Sloan recognizing strategically that was the move. And tactically, those were the guys to do it with. He helped change the game. And like a lot of folks who had a remarkable level of greatness in the NBA, who happened to happen across a guy named Michael Jordan, don't always get remembered the way they should. He will today here on the program. And we'll hit some other things for you as well. So let's start with some good news in the world of sports as we continue to come back from and grapple with this semi-lockdown in this time of a pandemic. And I'll talk about this probably more later, but I tested positive for the coronavirus. I actually didn't test positive for the antibodies and the virus simultaneously. about 6 weeks ago. I'm good. I'm okay. Family's okay. But, you know, we sort of went through it. And like everyone else, we are ready to get back to normal life. And sports are a big part of that. So some good news on that front. And then because that's part of the job, and I don't like lying to you, I'm not going to lie to you, we'll temper it with some realism. But some really good signs from the NBA that they're going to return at some point fairly soon. We know Major League Baseball is working toward a process, and the protocols are out, to try and get back to baseball. The expectation from folks around the National Football League, and that's a long ways from now, is there will be NFL games. But it's the NBA of the major sports, clearly, that was interrupted. And that has a season to try to get back to in some form. And, you know, I'd heard over the last maybe 3 or 4 days, like I'm sure you have, like Jim has talked about, like other folks have mentioned, like the reporting has borne out, that the NBA is trying to figure out how to do this over some sort of a summer timeline. And the beauty of the Players Association and the NBA having a good relationship with Adam Silver is that players get information and they have Twitter and they'll just go on there and say what they're not supposed to say. Spencer Dinwiddie yesterday tweeted in response to a pretty well-connected sneaker guru who said NBA would come back June 21st. Dinwiddie tweeted, "That's just practice." We're talking about practice. He didn't tweet that, but I had to throw it in. "That's just practice. Heard those last five games at Bubble Site start July 15th. This is amazing news. It's great news. It is a microcosm, we hope, for the country itself. Getting back to work in a safe way, in a way that's manageable, and giving us all an opportunity not just to have, you know, a little bit of something to focus on other than my 7-year-old's Zoom class that I have to monitor, but a little bit of, you parents know what I'm talking about, right? Who knew Zoom was going to become a 4-letter word, right? Where you'd say it would lead to fights at the dinner table. It really has become that. So this is good news from the NBA, and I'm excited about it, and I'm trying to be incredibly positive and happy before I get to what I think has not been discussed as it relates to the association and what to expect. Good news. In the next few weeks, you're going to see some announcements about the protocols that are going to be in place. And by the way, they're going to be just as silly to the eye as baseball's. They're going to have to be very particular things because of the legalese and the need to keep people safe. But we're going to get back to some form of a training camp. We're going to get back probably in June to some form of organized basketball. And as Spencer Dinwiddie said, maybe in July we'll have some games that count. And this is great, and it's interesting, and there's a lot to dissect here. Here's what I think hasn't been discussed as much as it should. And I think what's going to define this NBA season, however you want to look back at it when the time comes to make sense of what's been a crazy 2020. I mean, think about 2020. We lost David Stern. We lost Kobe Bryant, obviously, way too soon. Jerry Sloan just passed away. We've lost sports. Depending on what state you're in, you've lost your ability to leave your house. Most of us have lost our ability to send their kids to school. Things are going to get back. And there's been talk about this NBA season when we crown a champion. And as I understand it, talking to folks around the NBA, there's a few priorities. And I think the reason that it's almost a certainty we're going to have NBA basketball is that their collective bargaining agreement is unique to that sport relative to the NFL and Major League Baseball. The players get a huge cut of basketball-related income, BRI, and that means that they're highly motivated to get as much money into the coffers as possible because it'll affect, as you know, the cap in the years ahead, the money that they're going to make. It's just like the number of days you work this summer would impact how much money you're going to make in the years ahead. They're going to have 7 to 10 regular season games to try to make good on some regional contracts, and they're going to try to get to best of 7 playoff series. And a lot of people have talked about whether or not there's going to be an asterisk in this NBA season because it's shortened and it threw off the rhythm. And if you're the Clippers, your strategy of rest has been thrown utterly out the window. And if you're the Bucks, I think there's some real reasons to be concerned, Milwaukee. And I love your team and I love Giannis, but you don't have that championship experience and pedigree. Those things matter that a LeBron James and a Kawhi Leonard have. And the way that you presumably would have made up for that, beyond the fact that Giannis is an absolute freak of nature, is the rhythm of being together as a team and the confidence of playing well. That's been disrupted. What hasn't been discussed, so Adam Silver, to anyone who will listen, on those calls that he's had with players, including a few weeks ago, this is what's going to define the NBA season. It's not going to be whether or not it being a shortened season impacts the legitimacy in the eyes of you and me and fans. It's the idea of coronavirus roulette, for lack of a better term. Silver has made a point of saying people will test positive, and they will. And those players will have to quarantine, and they will. When we get to playoff basketball, when the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks finally in August enter their postseason. And hopefully all of us are breathing a sigh of relief because sports in the country are somewhat going back to normal. The fact and reality is that it's very possible the best team isn't going to advance to the finals or win an NBA championship because there's no guarantee the best team's going to be on the floor. This is what people are going to have to get their minds around. As we approach a bubble site or two, and as I understand it from sources, yes, New Orlando, the favorite to be the singular bubble site, but was told yesterday by someone close to an NBA owner, they haven't ruled out two sites. But whatever it looks like, however it goes, we know, again, from a player who shared this, that the NBA is not going to lock down every single guy. They're going to let them go about their business in the bubble site, go out to dinner, go where they go, and if they test positive, they will sit for 14 days. If LeBron James tests positive for the coronavirus in the second round of the playoffs are going to go on without LeBron James for 14 days. If Kawhi Leonard gets unlucky at a restaurant in the Western Conference Finals and tests positive for the virus, Kawhi Leonard's going to sit down. Even an Eric Bledsoe, even a secondary or third player on a team, sitting out for 14 days is going to have a major impact on who wins an NBA championship. So I would suggest this, and I understand that the politics and the stress, let's call it what it is, right? The fear of the moment that we're in has people very, very on edge and frustrated with each other in the world, including my neighbor, who we're going to call John Doe. Cannot wait to get to this story. You're not going to believe this story. And that frustration is going to continue. I would offer this up. And I'm not going to pretend to be the world's biggest soccer fan, but I've never rooted for a Bundesliga team. You'd think I was Bavaria Bill the way I was going crazy this weekend. You know why? Because it felt great to watch real sports. And I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself. I've watched more Netflix in the last 2 months than I think a human being is actually designed to consume in a healthy way. I'm not sure I've slept in 2 months because of the Netflix thing. But every time I watch somebody on Netflix, do you go through this? Like, just shake someone's hand or dap it out or hug it. I sort of recoil, like, oh, I hope that guy doesn't give that guy the virus. Oh, I'm watching The Godfather. That's right. That didn't exist. But there's a lot of ways Fredo could go down, but probably not going to be COVID-19. The same thing I felt when I watched Bundesliga soccer, right? Just like guys crashing into each other. And it, you know, dawned on me, and I don't think it makes me selfish. I love sports. I want sports back. And if players are willing to compete, understanding the associated risks, then I'm going to put my emotional energy and my fandom into rooting for those things. Just like I take my kids for a walk, and, you know, we understand. Look, if you get unlucky, you get unlucky. And again, my family's a little different having had the virus. It is entertainment. And there's going to have to be, I think, an appreciation for things not as they used to be. And not just fans in the stadium. If you're a Bucks fan or a Lakers fan or a Clippers fan, I would say you should prepare yourself for the possibility, not the likelihood, but the very real possibility that you could be the team that gets unlucky. There's going to be an NBA contender who is likely to get unlucky because this virus is going to get through. They're going to test every day. All you need is a fever and you're sitting out. And it doesn't matter if your name is LeBron James. And it doesn't matter if your name is Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or Giannis. And that changes the series. You know who you don't want to face in any round of the NBA playoffs? The Lakers or the Clippers, unless one of those guys sit down. And if you're a fan of the Jazz, who I think are a really, really interesting team, or the Rockets, who I couldn't believe in less, I wouldn't buy stock in the Rockets for 13 cents. Wouldn't do it. And Rockets fans, before you get mad and say I'm a hater, I love James Harden. I'm a huge Mike D'Antoni fan. You know, Jerry Sloan's passing today is just a reminder of many things, including many other things, that greatness and genius doesn't always translate to championships. I said this to one of the guys earlier today. I want everyone to have a job and everyone to be successful. I'm rooting for everybody. I really am. I would love Mike D'Antoni to get a ring. It's his last year in Houston because he revolutionized the game in his own way and helped define the game in his own way. I like the Rockets. Your team is just hot garbage when it comes to actually putting together something and win an NBA championship. It doesn't work, but I want to be wrong. However, those teams and some selective teams, like Boston certainly, Philly potentially. Is anyone, and I should have paid more attention. I've been in Zoom world. Anyone know if Embiid has put on 100 pounds? Has anyone seen him? Like, right? Like at least the burger shops have been closed. Assuming that hasn't occurred, can you imagine if he showed up as like Jamarcus Russell, like, oh boy, that's a different guy than he was. The world has changed, as has Joel Embiid. Those teams, those secondary teams, have a real chance to win an NBA championship if they get lucky in the sense. And again, injury's part of the deal. I know the coronavirus thing is different. And I trust me, I take it seriously. It's a sobering and awful reality. Again, as a guy who's had it, whose family had it, I understand that. But you have multiple NBA champions whose championships have been defined by injuries. You just have. I mean, and they all count, but the Clippers benefited last year from half the Warriors roster going down to injury. And before Warriors fans start saying, yeah, that was garbage, you benefited too that your Kyrie and Kevin Love couldn't play in the NBA Finals. And before Cavs fans go, yeah, they didn't deserve it, you kind of benefited too from the whole Draymond Green kicking somebody where the sun don't shine. These things happen. They happen with some rarity. They happen more often because guys break down over the course of a season. All I'm saying is it's wonderful the NBA is coming back. I celebrate it. Bring baseball back. I'm ready. Bundesliga, sure, whatever. I don't know how to say do something in German, but let's go. Go Germany, whatever. I'm into it. Just prepare yourselves, especially in the NBA, because Major League Baseball is going to have more time, right? They can distance in an easier way. They can space out in an easier way. And obviously, when they get back to baseball, they are getting back to the very beginning of the season. When we get back to the NBA, it's a handful of games, and then it's the playoffs. Without the testing and the certainty of how often this is going to affect sports, I would just say prepare yourself for a new normal and the possibility that it's not going to be an asterisk season, but that you're going to have a very different potential outcome because the virus is going to be a contributor to who does potentially and does not win an NBA championship this year. All right, give us a call. Love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. If you're wondering who in the hell is talking to you, I get it. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. It's great to be here. Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R on Twitter, Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome. I've done it right in a few months. Twimmer. I'll learn to speak by the second or third hour. JimRome.com. Love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. Whoever wins the NBA championship, 8 seed, because they get the coronavirus path to glory, they are the legitimate champion come September. Period. Full stop. End of statement. We'll take some calls and talk about what's going on with Dak Prescott in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.
Capital One knows life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers. We've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? Sweet. So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps you if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
All right, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. I have giant headphones, and I'm filling in. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. If you want to yell at me or whatever, you want to hang out. Sports Writer on Twitter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I'm filling in today. I'm filling in on this holiday Monday that's coming up. Jim will be back on Tuesday. Some tweets at Monica's Cheese tweets. Ryder's such a nice guy, it's hard to make fun of his headphones. Thank you. And don't let it stop you. All right, so I'm wearing these Bose, you know, with the noise cancellation. And when I lived in Brooklyn, in New York City for 2 years, would go into the office to do CBS Sports Radio, I would wear these things everywhere because they would drown out the sound of people doing terrible things on the train. I almost said what they were, but I decided, you know what? Maybe there are some kids listening. I know my daughter is. And just the noise in New York. I get it. They look ridiculous, Monica. I hear you. But if I may take something Kobe said and change it, obey your ears. I'm just going to do it. Feel so. The first time I filled it on the show, on the Jim Rome Show, I had these on from New York City, and somebody requested that I take them off, and I didn't. Somebody in, I think, the New York building at CBS Sports Radio, like the board op, or some young dude. I was like, you know what? If they're going to kick me off the show, there's a lot worse that I bring to the show than the headphones, so I'm going to roll with it. Thanks for the tweet. D. Precopa tweets, Bill, nothing wrong with giving an old man the hand, signed Conor McGregor. I'm going to tell the story later. By the way, this is a funny story. It has a Hall of Famer makes a cameo. But I did have an old man who lives near me try to fight me on my front lawn in front of my son, and then later spray him with water, and things almost got real ugly. We'll tell that story later in the program. Headed some bacon. I want some bacon badly. Congratulations, sports writer tweets, on the creation of the new jungle word, normality. Nobody is more right than you. Hey, man, it's a whole new normality here on the show for the next 2 days. As the guys pointed out, haven't done radio in about 5 months, haven't left my house in about 2 months. We're going to learn. I'm going to learn to speak again with all of you. And Bella B tweets at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Kawhi is going to sit down regardless. I don't think so. He ain't sitting down. It's interesting, and we'll hit this probably more on Monday. I want to get to a few calls here in a second at 1-800-636-8686, and I also want to get to Dak if there's some time. But let me make this point. I know it was unpopular. I not even believe. I know for a fact that the Clippers' approach to sitting those guys was the right approach, and it was effective. All this talk about the window closing for LeBron and how unlucky he is, if they get a season in and they get a champion in, assuming that the Lakers don't get felled by a positive test or just somebody having a fever, this shutdown benefits in L.A., the Lakers, in a big way. The Clippers were going to be more rested. LeBron's control of his organization, his belief that he's basically impenetrable, and Frank Vogel, who's great, his approach to managing LeBron, which is to give him what he wants, which is, by the way, the right approach. I'm not taking shots at LeBron. That's the right approach. And the level of defensive intensity the Lakers had to get to know they could play championship-level defense, was going to wear that Lakers team out. They were going to hit a wall. The Clippers were going to have a huge advantage of rest. I know you don't like it. I don't like it either. Load management works. And I could point you to a bunch of championships, the most obvious and recent being Toronto, that have happened because of it. That's out the window. Kawhi's not sitting down, but he's not going to have, he'll be rested, but so will LeBron and every other guy in the NBA. I think it's a huge disadvantage for the Clippers. But again, any team can win an NBA championship that makes the playoffs because, and I hate to use the word luck associated with something as awful as this virus that has killed, more than 80,000 Americans now, but the reality is that we're going to get back to basketball. Guys are going to pursue championships, and testing positive for this or having a fever has the chance to greatly alter the team that is competing round to round. It's going to happen. Adam Silver has told players, players are going to test positive. It's going to be part of the process. They're going to have to sit. He's not saying that over and over and over again in calls with players and the association's executive director because he thinks they're really worried about the 7 regular season games that they're going to sneak in. That's about the playoffs. And it's probably going to have an impact. All right, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up, brother? You're on the Jim Rome Show. Take all the time you need. What's up?
Bill Ryder Show.
What's up, buddy?
To an end.
What's up, brother?
Not much. Bill, my 2020 started out with your show being canceled because you have a new position at CBS Sports. First of all, Borecraft. And then second of all, I just want to hear that does the Utah Jazz have a competitive advantage considering that their stars already had the coronavirus when we start up the NBA season again?
Chris, that's a great point. Thanks for the call, man. Borecraft is a guy named Ryan Hickey. He used to work on my show that I had at CBS Sports Radio. I had to leave the show last year because CBS Sports HQ made me an offer that was great, and I love doing that job, but I miss radio so much. The answer to your question is I hope so, because as a guy that has tested positive for those antibodies, I certainly hope that they confer some kind of immunity on me and my family. The science is we don't know, right? We just don't know much about this virus, period. And we certainly don't know whether or not they offer immunity, though there's some reasons to suggest with some of the tests involving the plasma of the blood of the people who have had it having some benefits for folks who are sick. Maybe. I think it's a really interesting point. And I understand why Donovan Mitchell is mad at Rudy Gobert. I get it. But if I may tell you something that a friend of mine who's an emergency room doctor told me, and forgive the sort of imagery here, it's her imagery, not mine, but she got the virus, she was fine with it, and she said if she knew she could infect her friends and family and they would have a mild version like her, she would lick every single person she knew on the cheek. The hope is that they will, and if they do, if there's immunity, it's certainly going to have an impact. the truth is, the reality is, the fact is, at least for the foreseeable future, and let's hope it's not much longer than that, but we don't know, the coronavirus is going to impact every aspect of American life. It is. It already has. You know that. I know that. Whatever your perspective on the various sort of roads that we go from here, that's the reality we're in. That includes, of course, sports. It includes, of course, the NBA. And the ability to keep guys from contracting the virus is going to be critical, but it's not going to be perfect. You just can't do it. And so certainly if those two guys, if it turns out, can't get reinfected, don't show signs of being reinfected, and there's a bit of a flare-up. Because a concern that I have, I guess we'll have to get to Dak Prescott later, a concern that I have, and it's a real one, is let's say that just player A tests positive in an NBA locker room during the playoffs, whoever it is, whatever team, and he quarantines for 14 days, we won't be able to really ascertain if you contact trace, he's going to have been around all of his teammates touching the same basketball, and you're going to have to wait to see if there's more positive tests over days and days and days. It's going to require a whole lot of compromise and understanding that to get back to sports, it isn't going to be the way that it was on, you know, March 5th. It's just not for the foreseeable future. And I don't know, man. I don't know if those guys are going to have immunity. I certainly hope so, because I've been in a similar position. But if they do, I think it could serve to be an advantage. I do. Not missing the playoffs because you test positive for this virus, you have a fever, is obviously going to benefit you in a very, very significant way. We have a lot of stuff to get to. I've obviously given you my take on this. We're going to hit all the sports. In just a few minutes, Brett McMurphy is going to be on the program from Stadium, and we'll get his perspective on college football and some news there and his expectations and his understanding of what that is going to look like come the fall. We'll have the exact same conversation as it relates to baseball with Harold Reynolds here in a little bit. We'll get into Jordan. We're going to honor Jerry Sloan some more later in the show, and I will tell the story about almost coming to fisticuffs with my neighbor and how a surprise Hall of Famer emerged in this insane coronavirus meltdown moment.
Good night now!